for now. Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody.
We'd like to welcome you.
Especially those sitting in the bleachers out there. Actually, the Raps are a little shorthanded this year. Etty's in Israel for the summer. She's working there. I'm very excited. And I spoke to her this morning, and she said, she was a little depressed today, and she heard we're coming to Denver. And, you know, she kind of misses it, you know, coming and seeing everybody. So I told her she should just listen to the Shurim online, you know, and then she'll hear Patty, and she'll hear Jenny and Irving. It's like, it'll be like you never left. So keep that in mind. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Chukas. Among the things that Chukas is most known for is the story of May Mariva. To remind those who might not remember from last year, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to go speak to the rock in order that it should produce water. Most relevant, according to Rashi, is that he hits the rock, and because of that, he does not get to go into the land of Israel. However, if you look at the Psukim, there's another, I would not say more important, but a very different type of thing that we can learn from it. Looking at number one on the sheets, if anyone's missing, supposedly there are sheets floating about here. We have a few of them. It says, "Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol edom midbar tzim b'chodes rishon v'yeshev am b'kadesh v'tamash shom mirim v'tikavir shom." So they get to Midbar Kadesh. This is towards the end of the 40 years, and Miriam passes away. With that, we know that Miriam was the reason that they had the traveling well that went around with them. So now that Miriam is gone, the well is gone. The well is gone. There's no water. So the next passage, no water. The people are not happy about it. They go to speak to Moshe and Aaron about it. So they turn around and say, no, this is no way to die. We should have died earlier. This is the way you're going to kill us off. We're not interested.
Born ready.
Born ready.
Right? This is so what happens? Vayavo Moshe Aaron b'nei HaKohol al Pesach HaMoed vayipol al pneim vayirak kvod Hashem aleihem. So they went to the daven on behalf of the people, and they say, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'emor kach esamata v'hakir asar edom atov Aaron afichu v'nibartem el asem leineihem v'nasan meimo v'otzeisa lehem mayim in asar v'ishkisa asar edom v'esbiyiram." So in fact, God says, don't worry, we're going to help you out here. You're going to go take your staff, go to the thing. And in fact, there will be water for the people and for their animals. Seems to be a simple enough comment. However, it is relevant in light of a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos comments that Asur la'adam shi'ochal kodem shi'item machal v'hemto. A person is not allowed to eat until they feed their animals first. That's the rules. First, you feed the animals, and then you eat yourself. And it gives a proof text, "V'nasati esa b'sal chog v'hemtecha, v'hadar v'achalta v'savata." First it says, I'm going to give food for the animals, and then afterwards...
Food only or drink also.
So, right? So again, all it says here is food. Now, that is a little problematic because if you looked at the order of the drink, right, it says, "Vishkisa esa edav esbiram." First it says, we're going to give to drink to the people and then to the animals. Doesn't our pasuk seem to run afoul of what it said in the Gemara in Brachos?
Except that Moshe was not physically handing drinks out to each of the people, right? He hit the stone, water comes out. And now people go and...
Well, what should the people be doing? Who should be drinking it first?
But that doesn't mean... I don't think that the sequence here necessarily contradicts the concept that you have to give... That you'll provide water for the people, for the animals. That's all it says. It doesn't say you...
Right, but why did it say that they have to... did it for the people and the animals? Why not say the animals and the people? What would have been lost by saying it in that order?
If it were food, that'd be even more of a question. You should feed the animals first. Give it to the animals and then the people. But right. I don't know if the same thing applies to drinking.
So why would you think it would be different?
Well, there's a big difference between eating and drinking.
Okay, doctor, I will accept that. You know, but they both seem to be, you know, we're doing them both right now. And
can't be both.
What?
Can't do it. Can't feed the people and the animals together.
Right, so therefore you should feed the animals first. Right, that's what it says. So the Rambam quotes it's lahalacha. Says Chachama Rishonim Hayinosim LeEven Yikol Tavshu VeTavshu Yochem. So you see, he said that they used to feed the slaves before they would eat. Makdimu Mazon LeBehemas VaAvadim Osuras Atzman. Same thing that when it comes to whether it's the animals, whether it's coming to the workers, they go before you. So it would seem from there that this is the halacha, and it's a little questionable. Now, you can't turn around and say, this is a very difficult pasuk because it's against the Gemara. That's not really the way things work.
Not a good argument.
Right? Right? It's more of a question of how can the Gemara say that? Isn't it against the pasuk?
Because the text.
So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch is talking about something that we're all familiar with, and that is after a person, for example, makes a bracha of washing before the meal, you shouldn't talk until you make the motzi. Once you make the motzi, of course, you should not talk until you eat the bread. So the Shulchan Aruch, when it quotes that halacha in number 4, it says, Yochal miyad. Right away, after you wash, you should make the motzi, you should eat. Well, yasir bein bracha la'achira, and don't talk after the bracha before you eat. The imsach, what if you did? Now, this comes up all the time in our house. The Rapp family are of Germanic descent, and therefore we wash before Kiddush, as Orthodox Jews do. So therefore...
some of them.
Ashkenazim. So therefore, for whatever reason, not everybody is used to that. And inevitably, somebody will comment about the Kiddush wine before we make motzi. So besides embarrassing the person terribly, which we try to do, but this is very important, right? The question is, does the person have to go wash again? So the answer in that case is for sure not. But what if someone would talk in between the hamotzi and then eating? So it says, imsach, what if you actually spoke? So, you have to do it again. Unless, of course, it's related to the meal.
Best of salt.
Hav melech, best of salt. Right? Kagon, shabir chalapas, v'kolim sh'achol, omer havi melech. There you go. Could have written the Shulchan Aruch. Oliftan, or the relish. Tinu lepon le'achol. Give him a piece of challah. Right? These are all related. Not a problem. Or if I say, give food to the animal. Now, why is give the food to the animal not a hefsek? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Gam ki minon yasudu, da asa litom kodam she'itim levehemto. The reason is because I can't eat until the animal, this is a necessary part of the meal, that the animal be fed. Then the Mishnah Berurah here quotes something from the Magen Avraham. Kosav Magen Avraham, b'shem Sefer Chasidim, the Lishtos Adam Kodem LeBehema Kiksir BeRivka SheAmra LaEvish SheTeva Gam Lecha Ashker. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Sefer Chasidim that quotes Alex Jacobs, which says that in fact this halacha only applies to eating but not to drinking. What's his raya? It's not actually a raya from our pasuk, but from an earlier pasuk, from Rivka. What's the pasuk from Rivka? Everybody knows the story that Eliezer is looking for a shidduch, and he figured out that there's going to be a test, and if they can pass the test, they give you a drink.
I already had, thank you.
So they're stronger.
Sorry.
Well, just say hello to Racheli and to Aaron, who are listening live. When Eliezer is looking for a match for Yitzchak, he comes up with this plan, and the plan is he's going to go ask for water, and if she's overly generous, that's a good sign. Tov, look at the Pesukim, number 6. Vayaretz Avid Likrosov, Vayoma Hagmiin and Nomat Mayim Mikadech. Eliezer asks the young lady, Rivka, can I please have some water? Vatoma Shtei Adoni, please. Vatimar Vatere Kadal Yadav Vatashkeyu. And he starts giving, then Vatachal Vahashkosov, Vatoma Gam Gamelecha Ashav, Arashe Kibu Rishtos. Deny that. Now I'm going to give you animals as well. The camels. Vatimar Vatar Kada El Ashokas Vataritz Od El Be'er Lisho Vatisha Lechog Malach.
So this was before Matan Torah, right?
This was before Matan Torah. But obviously Rivka followed the Torah because what would a 3-year-old daughter of Besuel, sister of Lavan, do other than be Machmir and all the halachas? And therefore she went and first she gave Eliezer to drink, and then afterwards only did she give to the camels. So you see from there, so we have two cases in the Torah where it seems that they're in the opposite of what you'd expect. Where first we go, so the answer offered by the Sefer Chassidim, as we'll see, is that in fact the rules of feeding is only by food, but it's not by drink. Now, of course, that begs the question of why? What's the difference? Why would I think that I have to feed the animals first, but I can drink before them? So let's just take a moment. Why do you think you have to feed your animal before you eat yourself?
Eating takes a little while, and you're going to want to sit down and have a meal, and by the time you finish, you could have already forgotten about the animals.
Fall asleep.
And it'd be nicer to let them eat first because they're hungry, and then you can take your time and you can eat.
So you say it's a
convenience. And you can live just fine without eating for that 10 minutes or 15 minutes to...
but not so with drinking water?
But water's different. You're thirsty. You haven't had a drink. You're dying of thirst, okay? Now you're going to stop and you're going to give the animal.
Well, if you say you're dying of hunger as well.
Yeah, no, you know.
Maybe an exception.
You die a lot faster if you don't drink it.
That's true.
Also, your animals have been working for you.
So let them drink first.
Well, I'm with his argument.
Animals and then adults. What are you saying about children?
Babies
in the morning
first.
Where did you get that?
Animals and then.
I don't think we discussed the baby case yet.
Right.
Well, I think we've done enough time here.
But is it law or no? I support feeding babies. I'm willing to go on record saying that. Yes. But let's see. Okay.
We always did ours so, anyway.
good to know.
So, the Sefer Chassidim says, "Inin Simon Adam Vehema Yitnu Adam Trila." So, the Sefer Chassidim is the original source when it comes to drinking. Right? So it says that. So he brings the proof from Rivka, and he also quotes our pasuk. So he quotes it that way. He says, yeah, why is it? He doesn't give a reason. He said that the Pesukim just come out that way. That when it comes to drink, we see twice in the Torah that the animals get the animals drink after the people. But when it comes to eating, the other way around. The Pardes Yosef is bothered by this, and he has a long piece.
Another distinction. The animals are not eating the same thing that the people are eating.
That's right.
But when it comes to drinking the water, they're drinking exactly the same thing you are. So it could be that if they drink all the water, and you got to make another trip to the well, or maybe there's a drought, but the food that you're going to eat is different than the food they eat. Sometimes it's not even edible for humans.
See, it's funny because I'm sitting here at a table and everybody's eating hamburgers. And I will accept that animals don't eat hamburgers. On the other hand...
They definitely eat potatoes.
What?
They definitely eat potatoes.
Only Jewish ones.
All the animals are going to eat hamburgers.
Gavara, right. What did we have for dinner tonight?
Mushrooms.
Was that Swiss chard also? I eat the same thing as they do.
Yeah, I'm sorry for you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry for them, too.
Feel my pain. Right. So I'm just saying that.
But in general, isn't that true? I mean, there are certain types of grains that are considered more.
Yeah, barley. Barley is considered machal behema.
Right.
Right?
I think, at least the Gemara calls it that, yeah.
Right. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think we. Nowadays, depending on what your habits in eating are, they may be more or less.
So I'm trying to think of why there's a distinction between the eating and the drinking. But,
right.
Of course,
so let's see,
that the animals aren't drinking good scotch, too. But
right, never more than 18-year-old Macallan. 25,
yeah.
You'll never waste that.
No, 7-year-old.
That's right. Not that much your best friend. So, the Pardes Yosef takes us on, has some very interesting comments. He says, "Masefu Malaha Omer Kasav Lefisha Shtias Adam Maat." This is a little bit similar to what Steve said. He said it's not really the story is it's not a matter of waiting, but it's a matter of who eats more. He said he assumes that man drinks less than animals. Now, if you look at the case of Eliezer, that's for sure true. Compare a man to a camel, I think, so he says, right? So therefore, the man can finish their drinking a lot quicker. So let the man drink first, and then afterwards, let the animals drink. When it comes to eating, it's the opposite. The amount of time you prepare dinner is a lot longer than the time that you prepare in opening the can or the bag, etc. So he said that really the rule is that we don't want anybody to wait for anybody else longer than necessary. So if you're going to be, whoever is going to consume quicker, goes first. So therefore, when it comes to drinking, people drink less, it takes less time, as opposed to when it comes to eating, it takes man more time than it takes an animal. That's answer number one.
What if you have like multiple animals though?
What?
If you have, I don't know, 100 camels.
How many kids?
One. I mean, it could take you hours to feed animals.
Right. So again, I think
if you have a farm, and
I think we have to make an overall general rule here. You know, in fact, whether I have 100 animals and one kid or 100 kids and one animal. Right,
although I think if you're giving animals, water to drink, you pour it in a trough and they drink. You don't let each animal have a glass of water. You're yours.
Right. Like, also, when it comes to eating, you also fill the trough.
Yeah.
Right. So that is answer number one. Answer number two is a more interesting answer, I think. The Sefer Pinyin Yekarim Ksiv Lefi Masha Kosa B'Nezer Kodesh Imre Shefer L'Kacha Behema Kos La'Adam. He takes a step back and he says something very interesting. He said, "Why is it that animals eat first?" So he says that man is always being judged, and if, as it says in the second paragraph of Kriyishma, it's very clear that, the amount of rain and the amount of food we get is related to whether we're deserving or not. So it says that v'haya im shamoa, if you do it, then everything's going to be good. And if not, v'avaritem mehera, goes the other way. The Gemara tells us there are times out there where we are not deserving of rain, but God says, you know, if I cause a drought, the first creatures to go are the animals. And the animals haven't sinned. Why should they suffer? So therefore, I will not bring a drought, I will not bring a famine to the world for the sake of the animals. So therefore, at any time it is possible that we are receiving our sustenance because of the animals. And therefore, it would be appropriate to feed the animals before us, because it's in their zechus that we're getting fed at all. They're picking up the tab, shall we say.
I like that.
Now, that being said, so what about the drinking?
That's exactly it.
Hmm?
Exactly.
Right? So what about the drinking? So he says a very interesting thought. He points out that when it came to Rivka, so the Rashi comes at one point that when Eliezer came to the well, the water came to greet him, indicating that he was a great man. So he says that Rivka realized that, obviously, if the water is coming to greet him, he has the right to the food on his own, not because of the animals, and therefore the logic doesn't make sense, so he should be fed first. Similarly, the Pardes Yosef offers that in our case here, what happened right before there was, why are we having a drought in this week's parsha? What happened right beforehand?
Miriam died.
Okay, Miriam passed away. So, but wait a second. So I'm sure they had I'm sure they had water that I had taken from the well beforehand. Why did it suddenly run dry? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says in Hilchos Avelos that when someone dies, they would pour out all the water. You should not drink water that was open at the time that a person passed away.
Why?
So that's a good question. Right? It could be germs. It could be some sort of heebie-jeebies, which is more likely what it is. But that's the way we do it. So therefore, however, the Shulchan Aruch says that if that happens, if someone dies, you can't drink the water, but you can feed it to the animals. So he points out that in our parsha, there was water for the animals. Right? Only the people really needed water. So that's why the pasuk says, I will give water to you and your animals. You first, because you need it now. But the animals already had water.
Yeah. So why did you say the animals at all?
Because they're going to need also, eventually, whatever the current amount goes. Now, with that being said, so that really changes everything. According to that opinion, in general, right now I want to have a cup of Coke. Do I drink it myself, or do I give it to my animal first?
Don't confuse these with facts.
No, they can't drink Yoo-hoo because that's chocolate.
You can't drink
that.
Coca-Cola either.
No?
No.
It's maybe the best stuff on earth.
Yeah, it's not for animals.
Oh, okay. More for the rest of us. So according to this, right, there is no difference between the answer that we've been working with, that there's a difference between eating and drinking, is not true. Right, there's a difference between eating and drinking when you know the person is deserving. But in a normal case, not only would you have to feed your animals first, but you'd have to give them to drink first. Okay, this brings us to a very interesting tshuva. The Sheilas Yavetz is one of the tshuvas written by Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden, a well-known and colorful achron. He has an interesting question. So if you remember, it said, how do we know that you're supposed to feed your animals first? It's a pasuk, and the pasuk says, Sadi Esa v'savcha liv hem techa, v'achalta v'savata. Now, not all animals are behemoths. All behemoths are animals, but not all animals are behemoths, right?
Chayos, right?
They could be chayos, they could be ophos, right? Dogim. So we talk about a behemoth. Do we mean a behemoth? Or do we also mean
anything counter distinction?
Do I have to feed my goldfish beforehand? Do I have to feed my parakeet beforehand?
Not.
What? What was that?
Not human.
Right. So that's the question. Does behemoth mean behemoth? Right? In the colloquial? Or that? So the reason he asks the question is because he wants to know, what about cats and dogs? Cats and dogs are, what category do they fall into? So they're not ophos.
They're pets.
They're not dogim.
They're wilde chayes.
Right, so whether they're wilde or not, they're definitely chayes, though. Right, so the question is, when we talk about a behema, you have to feed your behema first, it's only a behema. So that's the question. Sheol, mishim egadol chatur o kelev betoch beisel. Someone has a pet cat or a pet dog. What's the story? And he asked, what's your question? You want to know, is it a behema? So it's definitely not a behema. It's a chaya. That's for sure. He said, so that's the case, for sure not. But then he goes on and he says that really he thinks it should apply. Why? Because you have to have Akar Satov. You have to appreciate that which your animals do for you. Your cat.
Steve was saying earlier.
What?
That's a little bit what Steve was going on earlier.
What? He says that a cat.
They're dependent on you.
I love Yekisha jokes. Want to hear a Yekisha joke?
Yes, I do.
What did the Yekka name his cat? Achre Mouse.
I don't know what mouse means.
You don't know what mouse means.
You mean M-O-U-S-E?
M-O-U.
Okay, now I got it.
Achre Mouse.
Achre Mouse.
Right? So, you have to have...
So the cats get rid of your mice.
Right, and the
and
dog...
And the dogs, they
protects,
eat chickens.
Right, it protects the house.
They work for you.
Right, guard dog.
Plus we have a special corset for dogs.
That's not for me, Pig. That's Klal Yisrael.
What about a hamster?
Or a yachret.
Or a turtle.
They don't do anything.
Well, but they're still animals.
They are still animals.
Should we feed them? They fall in the category?
So, yeah, no, you should feed them. Just not say
no,
beforehand. do not start this. ASPCA would not like you if you starve your hamster. Right? So he turns around and he says it. Then he says, again, going to the last line in the first paragraph. So this is you should know that this isn't really a halacha. It's just the right thing to do. Right, and then he thought maybe that they says maybe only when it comes to farm animals is it a real halacha. But then he comes in with a comment that I'd like to spend a little more time on. And he says, Hamegadol kovak megadol chazir melekim lein ba'ara. He said, by the way, you shouldn't own a dog because it's usher to own dogs.
Mama.
What?
Mama.
What?
Mama, why?
Yeah. So we will discuss that. Right, he says that because if you look at the Gemara, says that, well, the question, you know, it's very nice whether you should feed him first, you should feed him second, but you know what? You shouldn't have a dog.
Wow.
So where does that come from, and is that something that we're serious about?
Mm-mm. Not from my father. Dog.
Who sponsored that? Who sponsored this, by the way?
PetSmart.
Veterinarian.
So, we start with the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Number 10. Tanya of Nasan Omer, Minayin Shlo Yigadol Adam Kelav Rav B'Tol Beso. How do you know that you're not allowed to have a bad dog in your house? V'almah Suam Ru'ua B'Tol Beso. Similarly, you should not have a bad ladder in your house. Talmud Lomer, V'tosim Damim B'Veisachot. What?
Bad dog.
What? Bad, bad, Leroy bad.
Like a vicious animal.
Mm-hmm.
Or some that bites the neighbors.
That's enough about Sydney for now.
Very good.
So it sounds from there that what type of dog can't you have? Right. Yeah. Right. You can't have some killer dog.
Right.
Right. But you know, we can't. I don't want to speak Russian hard about any type, right, whether it's German shepherds or pit bulls or whatever else, but it sounds that anything that's foaming at the mouth, you should try to avoid. I think we can say that with a fair amount of a certainty. Right? But in terms of...
It's some people like that.
But buddy, what?
People.
This idea that it's only a particularly vicious dog...
So
right?
How well is a chihuahua or a friendly little poodle going to protect your house?
According
to the previous
they bark.
Like a big dog.
So it sounds from here that the limitation of dog ownership is only for violent dogs. You get the same idea from a Gemara later on in Daf Pei. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Megabim Klavim Kofrim, Vechatulim Vekufrim, Vechul Dosinoi, Mibnei Shasum Renakar Esabayas. Says that you're allowed to own Klavim Kofrim. What are Klavim Kofrim? It's not a
Bikurs.
Right. you just can't have religious dogs. So. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? Number 12, katanim, kom kofrim, kofrim are katanim. Small dogs are okay. Right? Non-violent small dogs. So either small dogs or it sounds like larger shepherd dogs. You know, any dog that's not going to attack a person, that's not a problem. Right? Only if you have a large, dangerous, violent dog, that's a problem. So according to that, that would indicate that most people who have dogs don't have a problem, and people who have dogs that have a problem, they really have a problem. But beyond the halachic issue. The problem is there are other Gemaras that don't sound that way. There are other Gemaras that seem to be saying that the prohibition of owning a dog is not limited to a kelev ra. So, for example, the Mishnah, again in Bava Kama 9-10, says, Lo yigdo adam es hakelev, ela im kein haya kosher b'shalsheles. You should not have a dog unless it has a chain on it. So why? What's the reason for it? So Rashi said they should no shech ben abeach ma'pelas ishimiyurasa. Right? It means that because you got to keep your dog chains because or else it's going to bite someone, it's going to bark, it's going to scare a pregnant woman. You don't want that. In fact, the Gemara goes on to explain this Mishnah even in broader terms. So yigda adam esakelav elim came kasher b'shalshelas. Tana rabbanon lo yigda adam esakelav elim came kasher b'shalshelas. However, you can have the dog, he has to be chained, unless I live in a border city. You keep it chained during the day, but you let it run free at night. He says, not only that, he says, if a person has dogs, it's as if you were raising pigs. What's wrong with raising pigs?
Right.
Some of my best friends, right? My nafkamino will make him a little bit older, because that is actually a curse against people who raise pigs.
What?
So it sounds from the last two sources. The first two sources seem to be that there's a problem only with a kelev ra, as opposed to the last two sources seem to indicate that no, it's a problem with all dogs. So what do we follow? So the Rambam is machmir. The Rambam said, you're not allowed to raise pigs. He says they can only do it if it's chained. You're allowed to have a dog only if you need it for protection. And even then, you can only let it out at night. That is the Rambam's opinion. The Tur, however, disagrees. The Tur quotes the same thing, but he adds a word. He says, also legado kelev, next word, ra. That this whole rule, when it says it has to be kept chained, and it can only let it out at night, and it's only in a case if you're living by a border city, that's only a kelev ra. That does not apply to your chihuahua, it doesn't apply to your schnoodle, it doesn't apply to your poodle, it doesn't apply to any of the other dogs, it doesn't apply to Marmaduke. It just applies, or Odie, right? It just applies to a kelev ra. Scooby-Doo for sure, not. Right? So he says, he goes to say that he adds that one important word. Ela imkein, right? He says, kelev ra, elmkein, also b'shalshel, shabarzel, v'kosher, etc. The Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal, explains that it's a basic machokas rishonim as to how do you read the Gemara. When it says you have to keep a dog chained, does that mean a violent dog, or does it mean all dogs? So the Yamshel Shomo explains that din kelvo yagdal adam esol beso el bekshira muula natir balayla. Right, imhu mipnech shav ganavim. Why do you let it out to protect you from the ganavim? Belav dafka kelvra. So first, it sounds like from the Rambam that's not just if it's a vicious dog, but it's all dogs. However, the Yamshel Shlomo says that the Rambam is a minority opinion. And as a minority opinion, we assume that all these rules only apply to a vicious dog. But if it's not a friendly dog, then this would not be a problem at all. Lehalacha, what do we follow? Do we assume like the Rambam, or do we assume like the Torah? Are you allowed to own a dog? Inquiring minds want to know. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Osri gadol kelev ra. The Shulchan Aruch is very clear that we follow the Torah. That the, even though the Shulchan Aruch generally follows the Rambam, in this case he does not. So there's no problem in owning a dog, unless it is a vicious dog. Of course, this doesn't go for dogs alone, but all sorts of dangerous exotic animals are not appropriate to have.
Anyone? No alligators.
Everyone here go to the wild animal sanctuary? Anybody go? Mm-hmm. What? So what is the wild animal sanctuary? That they should have sanctuary.
Exactly.
And we make sure not to, when we don't split up the families, we keep them all together.
That's right.
Right, so the wild animal sanctuary, this is the largest one in the world, I think, is for people who were not so bright and thought it would be a good idea to have a pet lion, tiger, bear, hyena, etc. And surprisingly, it just doesn't always work out well. Who would have guessed? Go no.
Right.
In Connecticut, they know that very well. Right? So therefore, the idea is that that having a violent animal is problematic, but a non-violent animal is fine. There's no problem whatsoever. Interestingly, the Rama has a comment on this. And I find this halacha to be important, not necessarily for dogs, but for another major political issue. So let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan closely and see if anyone can guess why I consider this important. So again, according to the majority of the opinions, yes, Rav Yaakov Emden says you're not allowed to own dogs, and that's based on the Rambam, but we do not, the Shulchan Aruch does not follow the Rambam, and the overwhelming majority of the other Rishonim and the Achronim also do not follow the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch does not follow the Rambam, and therefore, as is testified by the fact that Jews have owned dogs for hundreds of years, That in fact there is no halachic issue with it. Obviously, having a violent dog or any other violent animal is a problem, unless of course you need the violent animal for protection purposes. So look at the Shulchan Aruch. It says also gadol kelev ra. You can't have a vicious dog. Elim came also b'shal shel or shel barzel v'kosher b'hem, unless you keep it in a cage. And if I'm living in a dangerous neighborhood, I'm living by the border, I'm allowed to have it. I have to, when it's not being used by day, I have to keep it in its cage, and at night I can let it out and have it protect for me. He said, nowadays, that we are living in dangerous times, we're surrounded by unfriendly neighbors, then, of course, you're allowed to always keep it out, even by day. Mm-hmm. Said, look, and that's in fact what people do. He says, however, if there's really danger to the good people, even then you can't take it out. Right? That's the Shulchan Aruch. Aruch HaShulchan is already 20th century. Let's fast forward a little bit. Same idea. Also, the Galak HaRol, and we came with also with Shalshal Shalbarzel, got to keep in the cage. However, if I really need it for protection, I'm allowed to.
Late
19th century. Aruch HaShulchan was early 20th century. Early 20th, 1917, I think.
I thought
you said early. Some people say because, you know, if we're a minority, we're in danger, you're allowed to. If you have it out there, if not, you're cursed for keeping this around. In my mind, this isn't about the dog. this is about the gun.
Really?
Right? I think that, that the modern day equivalent of this is not dogs, people, but rather the story of whether or not a person is allowed to own a gun. Because the gun, in my mind, is the same thing as the kalashnikov.
Yeah.
It's dangerous, and someone can get hurt. If you need a gun, then a person, absolutely, you're allowed to have it, but you have to keep it locked up. Right? Just like you would have to keep the dog locked up for fear that the wrong person would be hurt by it. So, too, I think that this is the 21st century equivalent. If a person needs it for protection, it's absolutely allowed, but a person can't be too safe with it. If you're living, there is a concern, you need to have it, great. But God forbid a kid should get his hands on it. Right? God forbid that the wrong person should be hurt. You've got to sit there and be very careful in determining whether or not...
I like your argument, right. But that seems like a really big leap to make.
So I think that the dog in the cage is the gun in the lockbox. I see that as
so
the exact
are you saying that you cannot own a gun for recreational purposes to go hunting? That's what you're saying.
That's what I would think. I think that if
you think it's against Allah for throwing them.
I would think that's the same thing as raising a vicious dog when you don't need it.
Michael Vick.
Right? What? Yes.
If you need it, it's okay. Which I agree, a gun needs to be there. But in practicality, if you're somewhere on the bus or something, or in a classroom or whatever unfortunate situation you're in, and somebody comes in and the gun is locked, you have to go get it and unlock it. By that time,
So the question
is, you don't have a gun on your hip.
So that's the question. The question is, you have to be very careful in balancing what are the odds, what is more dangerous, right? Right. If I'm an FBI agent who happens to be walking around with a gun, and then I decide to do a backflip, who knows what could happen?
In dinner.
Right. Yeah, of course. It is important for the person to have a gun in case that you end up with somebody who is dangerous to be able to respond. But is it a better chance that that's going to happen? You're going to run into a person like that? Or when I do a backflip, it's going to fall out of my pocket and shoot somebody. Right? That's what we're saying here is just like with a dog. You need to have if it's a non-vicious dog, you can keep your dog, enjoy, play, roll around with it.
Well,
use it for emotional
support.
Well,
the gun is more comparable to a non-vicious dog. It's not the gun that runs out and bites somebody.
It's the person.
The little kid that, God forbid, gets a hold of a gun that's hidden somewhere could be the kid that unlocks the gate that the vicious dog is kept in, and he runs out.
So you're saying it's the person.
So again, if you leave a gate
that
can be unlocked by a little kid, that's not a gate. That's not a protection.
That's not locking your dog up.
That's not locking your dog up. Same thing.
I don't think Aver felt that way when Butterscotch got to him.
Right? In the event that something goes really bad, you want the gun right there. On the other hand, how often do things get bad, and how often do accidents happen?
The second, a lot more.
Right, so that's why I think that's what we're talking about here. Now, you might notice where in Shulchan Aruch did this pop up? Which of the four halakim?
Where?
Chosh and Mishpat. Boy, that's an oddball. How did it get into Chosh and Mishpat? If I picked up my Shulchan Aruch and I would be looking for it, that would take me a while to guess that one.
What's that category? I don't know.
Monetary rules.
Okay.
Broken contracts, things, right?
Well, because there's monetary resulting.
Right, so the idea is that it's the rules of protection, of protecting your things. And you've got to make you have to figure it out. So I think that nowadays the protection we walk around with is not on a leash. It's in our holsters. And a person's got to come up with a decision as to, doing it in a way that again, we're not opposed to protection, right? Just like the Shulchan Aruch wasn't opposed to having a vicious dog. It was opposed to having a vicious dog without the requisite protections.
Okay.
And so too here, I think that we've got to be very careful.
Are there other people who make that argument that you're making?
Maybe.
Anybody else you know?
No.
What? Marcia?
I just felt like it was
a big... Don't expect to be hired by the NRA to make a... To make the broth on the next convention.
What?
The settlers, I've seen them in the mall when they come in, and they have guns right on their hips, their thighs.
In Washington Heights, we have people walking around with pit bulls.
Huh?
In Washington Heights, I have people walking around with pit bulls also.
For good reason.
Well, again, I don't think it's for protection. You can see what these guys look like.
I think you should always carry a gun to protect yourself from pit bulls.
Right.
Vicious dogs.
I carry a pit bull with me. All right. We can go off wide here.